Welcome to Pulp and Paper Radio International, the first place to hear the latest in worldwide pulp and paper news. We're coming to you from Duluth, Georgia, in the United States.
Hello, I'm John Kerr, and I'm the Executive Director of the Paper Science and Engineering Foundation at Miami University in beautiful Oxford, Ohio. I listen to Pulp and Paper Radio International, and I think you should too in order to keep up on the latest news.
Well, thank you, John, and good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Monday, December 12th, 2016 edition of NIPS by Pulp and Paper Radio International. I'm your host, Jim Thompson, the voice of the worldwide pulp and paper industry. And as usual, we'll be joined later in the show by co-host Chuck Swan. We welcome your breaking news. Just in an email with breaking news in the subject line to Pop Ritalo, Steve Roush at steve.roush@tai.com. Stay around after the show, after the closing, to hear me read one of the classic columns from NIP Impressions. These are read from Raising EBITDA, the Lessons of NIP Impressions. This will be after the closing, so don't forget to stay around. And if you want to be reminded of this show each Monday morning, just follow Jim Thompson at NIP Impressions on Twitter. And while you're on Twitter, you can follow Pulp and Paper Radio International by going to simultweet.com. That's simultweet.com, simultweet.com. We'll be tweeting additional information throughout the show at this location. Now, leading off today, Georgia-Pacific and Sunoco are making major investments. And another story making headlines in the U.S. last week, we have an update on duties on coated freesheet paper from China and Indonesia. We'll have more on these stories when they get to the North American news later in the show. And we'll be back after this message from our friends at Airmaster.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Dairmaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster.
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator.
And we're back. Let's look at last week's financial news for the PM40, and as usual, let's go to Brad McGee, assistant publisher at Papa Ritalo Publications, reporting from Papa Ritalo West in Pahoa, Hawaii. What is the latest financial news, Brad?
Good morning. The PM40 ended the week on Friday, December the 9th, at 36.54, up 154 points, or 4.4% from the December 2nd close, gaining shares outpaced decliners by a 9-to-1 margin. Over the same week, the RITEX Equal Weight S&P 500 Exchange Traded Fund was up 3.4%. Among the PM40 companies, the week's biggest winners were LSC Communications, gaining 21.7%, followed by Deltic Timber, up 11.7%. Our biggest decliner for the week was Hedera Paper, closing down 4.9%. Over the past year, Rayonier Advanced Materials has been our top performer, up 73%, and the deepest decliner was Resolute Forest Products, down 42%. Over the same 12-month period, the RITEX S&P Tracker is up 17%, while the PM40 is up 19%. If you'd like to follow the PM40 on a daily basis, tune in anytime after 11:30 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, right here at www.ipulpradio.com. Be safe and have a great week.
And the news will start in about 2 minutes.
Well, it's time to start planning our annual recovery boiler outage again.
Yes, it is. Budgets are tighter than ever, even though business is good. And speaking of good business, sales is pressuring us to have as short an outage as possible. They need the production.
Well, getting in a hurry costs money and can lead to safety problems.
I know, and you know we are always under pressure for our safety record, too. It seems like corporate has nothing better to do than to keep pushing us on every front.
I think I have a solution to all of these problems.
What's that?
RMR Mechanical. They've done a great work for us in the past and have a great safety record, too. They almost always beat the schedule.
Sounds like this meeting is over.
RMR Mechanical, the only name you need to know for an economical, quick, and safe boiler outage. Phone 770-205-9646 or visit us on the web at rmrmechanical.com.
CBG.
Morning, Tom. Give me some good news today.
Man, I really wish I could. We've got broken bolts and dryer cans, there are stuck studs in the pump housing, and to top it off, now they've broken a drill bit trying to get an alignment pin out. I think it's safe to say that the more we work, the farther we get behind.
So, Tom, are you doing this the old-fashioned way just for fun?
What do you mean?
Broken bolts, studs, drill bits, alignment pins, keys. CBG metal disintegration and stud removal can fix all those problems. CBG takes broken and stuck metal out of everything. Heck, they work on submarines, aircraft carriers, power plants, oil refineries, even a one-of-a-kind Ferrari engine, and have removed hundreds of dryer can bolts all over the U.S. I saw on CBGmaintenance.com they took out a 9/64-inch drill bit and removed 2.5-inch studs at a power plant.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Can you give me that website address again?
It's CBGmaintenance.com. Bookmark the site and give them a call today. CBGmaintenance.com.
And we're back. And I'd like to add that CBG has removed nearly 3,000 bolts and studs over the years. And folks, if you're having a roll repair that is in bad shape, insist your roll shop call CBG Metal Disintegration Services to help disassemble your roll. Now to the news. Starting with Oceania, Dateline Sydney, Australia. Universal Forest Products acquires second Australian packaging company. Universal Forest Products, Inc., headquartered in Grand Rapids, Michigan, announced that one of its subsidiaries has acquired all outstanding shares of the Ubico Group, a manufacturer of wood packaging based in Erskine Park, Australia, a suburb of Sydney. Ubico, spelled U-B-E-E-C-O, manufactures and distributes a variety of wood packaging and alternative material products, including boxes, crates, pallets, skids, protection packaging, packaging accessories, and loose lumber. Ubico becomes the second packaging-related Australian acquisition by a Universal Forest affiliate. In 2015, a Universal subsidiary purchased a majority interest in Integra Packaging Proprietary, a manufacturer and distributor of integrated packaging products based in Brisbane, Australia. Universal Forest Products is a holding company that provides capital, management, and administrative resources to subsidiaries that supply wood, wood composite, and other products to the retail, construction, and industrial markets. Dateline Jakarta, Indonesia. Government takes new step to combat loss of forest and fires. Indonesia has strengthened its moratorium on converting peat swamps to plantations in a move to a conservation group says will help prevent annual fires and substantially cut the country's carbon emissions if properly implemented. Draining of peat swamps by palm oil and pulp wood companies is a big contributor to destruction of tropical forests in Indonesia and to the country's greenhouse gas emissions. The land conversion worsens annual dry season fires that release huge amounts of carbon stored in the peat. Many of the fires are deliberately set to clear land of its natural vegetation. Indonesia has made major commitments to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and protect its tropical forests, which are home to critically endangered species. But deforestation has continued largely unabated. The amended regulation means companies such as Asia Pulp and Paper, one of the world's largest paper producers, are prohibited from expanding their use of peatlands, even if they're within their concessions. They also must rehabilitate drained peatlands and peatlands damaged by fires. Dateline Hanoi, Vietnam. Sugar Maid acquires international paper contracts in Vietnam. Sugar Maid, Inc., based in San Jose, California, announced the purchase of international paper contracts from Bao Coke International Paper and Plastics Limited, located in Vietnam. Under the terms of the asset purchase agreement, SugarMaid will assume contracts for International Paper products bound for delivery into the U.S. SugarMaid official Jimmy Chan said, quote, "These contracts are especially important relative to our new Canna-Shroud cannabis transport system, the components of which are manufactured in Asia. The significant reductions in freight charges will allow SugarMaid to be even more competitive in the marketplace and will allow us to further boost our already expanding gross margins," end quote. SugarMaid expects the asset acquisition to close this month. Dateline Tokyo, Japan. Nippon Paper Industries reviews glassine paper production structure. Nippon Paper Industries Limited has decided to review the production structure of glassine paper and how to achieve more efficiency because of the contraction of the domestic paper market. Currently, the Nippon Paper Group produces glassine papers at two mills, the company's Fuji Mill and the Harada Mill of Nippon Paper Papaya Company Limited, a specialty paper company of the group. The company decided to consolidate production and halt the operations of the Fuji Mill paper machine number one by the end of September 2017. Production of glassine paper on this machine will be transferred to the Harada Mill. Again, Dateline Tokyo, Nippon Paper Krisha and Kasuga Paper Industry reach an agreement on a joint venture for household paper products. Nippon Paper Krisha Company, a Nippon Paper Group company, and Kasuga Paper Industry Company concluded a basic agreement to establish a new company in April 2017 in order to launch a new joint venture for household paper products. The new company will install facilities to produce roll toilet tissue and other products on the premises of the Fuji Mill of Nippon Paper Industries Company Limited. Dateline Madhya Pradesh, India, Valmet to supply automation technology to Nepal Limited. Valmet will deliver technology to Nepal Limited in India for its two refurbished paper machines and new de-inking plant. The technology will enable the paper mill to increase productivity and improve product quality. The startup of the new system is scheduled for the end of February 2017. Valmet's delivery to Nepal Limited includes a mill-wide automation system to control the two paper machines, PM1 and PM2, as well as a de-inking plant. The delivery also includes a complete quality control system with scanning measurements and state-of-the-art multi-predictive cross-direction and machine direction controls. The scanning system includes new scanners with basis weight, moisture, caliper, and ash measurements. Nepal Limited operates two newsprint machines with a total annual capacity of approximately 88,000 tons. Now, if you want a completely different experience in the pulp and paper industry, join me in Panajachel, Guatemala, next July for the second annual Papermakers Mission Trip. We'll be there from Saturday, July 22nd to Saturday, July 29th. We'll build houses. We'll help the indigenous people of Western Guatemalan Highlands. Will be my eighth trip, and I always get more out of it than I give. Won't you join us? Send me an email at jthompson@taii.com for more information. Dateline Islamabad, Pakistan. Two victims of Pakistan plane crash work for Andritz Group. Two Austrians and a Chinese citizen who died in a plane crash in Pakistan last week worked for Austrian engineering group Andritz on a hydropower project in the north of the country, a spokeswoman for the company said. None of the 47 passengers on Pakistan International Airlines flight headed for Islamabad survived the plane crash into a mountain in northern Pakistan. The spokesperson added that the Chinese citizen had worked for Andritz's Chinese unit. Now on to Africa. Dateline, Durban, South Africa. Tosca Tech to rebuild PM1 tissue machine at Corel Tissue in Durban. Tosca Tech has been awarded a contract to rebuild PM1 at Corel Tissue in Durban. The startup of the rebuilt machine is scheduled for the second half of 2017. Corel Tissue is the primary tissue manufacturing plant of the Novus Holdings Group. The mill uses waste paper produced by the extensive printing operations of the group to make domestic tissue paper. The scope of supply will include a major rebuild of the existing Fournier tissue machine into a crescent former with a new head box. The delivery also includes a rebuilding of the existing approach flow system and felt run, as well as the doctoring system. Electrification and control systems for the new parts, erection supervision, startup assistance, and training will complete Toscatec's package. The new machine rebuild is designed for a speed of 1,000 meters per minute with a reel width of 2,460 millimeters. Now on to South America. Dateline Santiago, Chile. Chilean toilet paper collusion scheme valued at $460 million. A collusion scheme between Chilean paper manufacturer CMPC and a division of Sweden's SCA in Chile's tissue and toilet paper market generated benefits for the company of up to $460 million, a study by the nation's competition regulator said. The government is drafting a compensation plan in which the two companies will be required to reimburse Chileans. In October 2015, Chile's FNE regulators said CMPC and SCA subsidiary PISA had concluded for at least a decade to control nearly 90% of the Chilean tissue and toilet paper market, inflating prices. The FNE study asserted that CMPC gained between 198 million and 398 million U.S. dollars from the collusion, while SCA gained between 33.6 and 92.5 million U.S. dollars. And now for news out of Europe, here is Chuck Swan.
Dateline Helsinki, Finland. UPM recognized for its efforts on deforestation-free supply chain. UPM is one of eight companies that have been recognized by the CDP Forest Program with a global leadership position in the 2016 Forest A List for timber and timber-based products. The A-list features companies that are on a path to source or produce timber commodities sustainably. The CDP's report examines what steps companies are taking to protect their supply chains and bottom lines against deforestation-related risks. It has been produced by CDP at the request of 365 investors with $22 trillion in assets who request data from large corporations on their efforts to mitigate deforestation risks. Again, Dateline Helsinki. Metsä Board achieves leadership status in CDP 2016 Forest Program. Metsä Board, part of the Metsä Group, has achieved leadership status in the materials sector of CDP's 2016 Forest Program for the second year in a row. This follows on the news that CDP recently recognized Metsä Board's management of water security and climate change with A-list positions in both programs. Metsä Board promotes forest certification in all operating regions to conserve biodiversity and to ensure multiple use of forests. Metsä Board actively participates in development of certification via its parent company, Metsä Group. All the wood the company uses is traceable and comes from certified or controlled forests. And again, Dateline Helsinki. UPM Biofuels joins RSB, the Roundtable on Sustainable Biomaterials. RSB is a global standard and certification scheme for sustainable production of biomaterials and biofuels. It is also an independent multi-stakeholder coalition which works to support the sustainability of biomaterials. RSB is considered one of the strongest sustainability schemes, verifying that biomaterials are ethical, sustainable, and credibly sourced. It is also one of the European Union-approved voluntary schemes for biofuels to show compliance with sustainability requirements set for the production of biofuels in the European Union's Renewable Energy Directive. UPM Biofuels is also a member of International Sustainability and Carbon Certification, another sustainability scheme for biomaterials and biofuels. Dateline, Brussels, Belgium. Solvay to sell its cellulose acetate tow business. Solvay has reached an agreement to sell its cellulose acetate tow business, Acito, to private equity funds managed by Blackstone. The divestment of Acito is another significant step in Solvay's transformation towards a multi-special chemical group with a higher growth profile, says Jean-Pierre Clamadieu, CEO of Solvay. Completion of the transaction is expected in the first half of 2017 and is subject to the customary social procedures and approval by the relevant antitrust authorities. Dateline, Sarpsborg, Norway. Florida Lignin Investment approved. The board of directors of Borregaard and Rayonier Advanced Materials have decided to go ahead with the investment project in Florida after securing necessary permits as well as incentives from local authorities. Phase one of the project is expected to be completed mid-2018 and will present a capacity of 100,000 metric tons of lignin. The parties are in the process of securing external financing for about half of the $110 million investment for phase one. Lignotech Florida LLC is owned 55% by Borregaard and 45% by Rayonier Advanced Materials. Dateline, Solna, Sweden. Billerud Korsnäs explores new technologies. After promising initial tests, Billerud Korsnäs is now moving ahead with full-scale trials, adding microfibrillated cellulose to its paperboard products. The initiative is made possible through a new cooperation with Norwegian biorefinery pioneer Borregaard. Recent development has allowed for industrial-scale extraction of the components of cellulosic fibers in wood, the fibrils. For a paper and board maker, adding microfibrillated cellulose in the production process opens up opportunities for new functionality and for further improved resource efficiency, said company officials. To explore these opportunities, Billerud Korsnäs has carried out small-scale testing in full production. Based on the results of these initial tests, the company has now decided on full-scale trials to start in early 2017. And we'll be back right after these messages.
Fulton Systems is North America's leader in terms of thermocompressor and steam systems installations. Our references in the paper industry includes over 80 years of support, thousands of operating thermocompressors, and hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Additionally, we provide dryer section performance audits, steam and condensate system design, and consulting services. Give us a call at 770-447-1400 or visit our website at www.fultonsystems.com.
Shutdown. You planned it months in advance, or perhaps it was totally unexpected. For both kinds of shutdowns, the Pro Services Pulp and Paper team will be on the job immediately to get your pulp mill or your paper machine up and running again as quickly and efficiently as possible. For planned shutdowns, our pulp and paper project managers work with you weeks in advance to understand your needs and begin meeting them immediately as soon as the line stops. For those unplanned shutdowns, our full-service team can be instantly on the job with your team to find, understand, and correct all problems. Whether it's a planned or unplanned stoppage, your know-how plus our know-how will get your line up and running again safely and efficiently. Together, we can be ready for your next shutdown recovery or planned maintenance operation. Call us at 269-327-2322 or visit us at prosatwork.com. At Pro Services, we work.
Well, good morning, Steve Rouse.
Good morning, Jim.
So what's the Monday morning highlight this week, Steve?
Well, Jim, in today's Monday morning highlight, Chuck Swan, who we just heard from, will be giving us a report on Google and green energy.
That sounds very interesting. We'll go to that, Steve, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Jim.
In 1962, when singer-songwriter Bob Dylan wrote a hit folk song that included a refrain about blowing in the wind, he was commenting musically on social conditions in that time. Today, more and more people and companies are coming to believe that the answer to fuel questions and carbon emissions may be, at least in part, blowing in the wind. The wind blowing across vast fields of turbine generators, that is. And at least in another part, the sun beaming down on equally vast fields of solar panels. Last year, the far-flung operations of information technology giant Google consumed as much electricity as the city of San Francisco, according to a report by Quentin Hardy in the technology section of the New York Times. Next year, Google says, all that energy will come from wind farms and solar panels. Of course, Google installations buy electricity from local utilities that generate power from coal, natural gas, and hydroelectric dams, as well as wind and sunshine. But Google has contracted with renewables producers, guaranteeing to buy the energy they produce. The power created by the renewables is fed into the electric utility grid so that Google's withdrawals from the grid amount to no net consumption of fossil fuels. Joe Cava, Google's senior vice president of technical infrastructure, claims that his company is the largest corporate purchaser of renewable energy in the world. It is impossible to verify that claim, but there is no doubt that Google's large computer complexes are huge consumers of electricity. Google operates 8 different businesses, including YouTube and Gmail, which have over 1 billion customers. Amazon, Microsoft, and Facebook have entered into similar contracts with wind energy producers. Amazon's stated long-term commitment is to power all its facilities entirely with renewable energy and expects to have reached 40% of that goal by the end of 2016. Microsoft hopes to have half of its electric power supplied from wind, solar, and hydro sources by 2018. This is Energy Month at Paparitalo Publications, and what do we see ahead for the future of energy production in the USA? Well, natural gas will continue to supplant coal for sure, and we think nuclear energy. As for the rest, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind and basking in the sunshine.
Chuck has a way, doesn't he? We'll be back after these messages.
Many companies have inventory that they cannot use or cannot count on selling anytime soon. If your company is one of these, that excess or useless inventory is costing you money by tying up storage space, and worse, it is tying up your money. Money that is decreasing in purchasing value. Old inventory is holding your company back from greater opportunities and new ventures. So how can you recover more money out of your excess inventory? A great answer is Stockpiles, a marketplace that connects buyers and sellers. Stockpiles lets you list your for sale products and materials on its website free of charge, and you control your selling price. Let Stockpiles help you free up your money. Give them a call at 859-445-4920 or visit their website at www.siderolls.com.
Are you ready to advance your career in the pulp and paper industry? Freeman Staffing specializes in pulp and paper positions and the placement of engineers of all disciplines. From production supervisors and managers, mill managers, maintenance engineers and managers, project engineers and managers, process engineers and managers, to corporate executives, North America-wide, Freeman Staffing can help you find the best job opportunity in the industry. Contact Freeman Staffing at 800-221-9629. That's 800-221-9629. Or visit them at www.freemanstaffing.com to look at current opportunities. That's F-R-E-E-M-A-N FreemanStaffing.com.
We're back, and I'd like to add that Freeman Staffing, as usual, we report, currently has dozens of openings in the pulp and paper industry with base salaries between $120,000 and $175,000. And now for news out of North America, here again is Chuck Swan.
Dateline, Pasadena, California. Avery Dennison signs wind power purchase agreement. Avery Dennison Corporation has signed a wind power purchase agreement with Apex Clean Energy to offset 50% of the company's U.S.-based greenhouse gas emissions derived from electricity consumption. Under the agreement with Apex's Periton Wind, Avery Dennison will purchase 20 megawatts of renewable energy capacity from a 300-megawatt wind energy project to be located in Ochiltree County, Texas. The agreement is a key component of Avery Dennison's goal of reducing absolute greenhouse gas emissions from its operations by at least 3% annually and by at least 26% overall between 2015 and 2025, a goal set as part of the company's new participation in World Wildlife Fund's Climate Savers program. Avery Dennison is a leading company in labeling and packaging materials and solutions. Dateline, Atlanta, Georgia. Sonoco to invest $20 million in new Atlanta Area Packaging Center. Sonoco says it will invest $20 million in the development of a new packaging center to support Duracell's new North America battery packaging operation. Sonoco will install and operate state-of-the-art primary packaging equipment at the new center and provide all packaging materials. In addition, the company will produce retail merchandising displays, which will also be packed out at the same facility. Full production is expected in the fourth quarter of 2018. Dateline, Westchester, Ohio. Georgia Pacific to invest $18 million in Westchester facility. Georgia Pacific is adding to its Westchester plant, kicking in an $18 million capital investment and adding 29 jobs under a tax credit agreement with the state of Ohio. Georgia Pacific Corrugated is adding a digital web printing press for packaging, according to the company. Digital printing is a relatively new technology to the paper-based packaging industry. The new press at Westchester is the second digital press Georgia Pacific has bought, with the first located in Richmond, Indiana. Dateline, Youngsville, North Carolina. New product announced by Cerium Technologies. Cerium has introduced Transform, which the company describes as a revolutionary new generation of forming fabrics designed specifically for paperboard and packaging machines that lowers energy consumption and extends fabric life, among other benefits. Representing half of the global tonnage produced, paperboard and packaging grades continue to grow globally compared to other paper grades. Transform forming fabrics have been tailor-made for every type of board and packaging former, for derniers, twin wire formers, top formers, gap formers, and multiply formers, the company said. Transform technology is applicable for machines producing paperboard, containerboard, fluting, corrugating, linerboard, craft bag, liquid packaging board, food and beverage containers, bleached board, white top paperboard, boxboard, and other related subgrades. Dateline, Washington, D.C. Industry and union praise extension of duties on coated free sheet paper from China and Indonesia. Verso Corporation, Sappi North America, and Appleton Coated, together with the United Steelworkers, welcomed the extension of duties on imports of certain coated paper from China and Indonesia. They called it an important step to ensure continuing fair market conditions for the domestic market. The paper companies and the union allege that
certain coated paper from China and Indonesia has been subsidized and dumped in the United States, resulting in injury to the domestic industry and its employees. Dateline, Longview, Washington. Longview mill workers to vote on new Capstone offer. Mill workers will vote on a new contract offer from Capstone next week, more than 2 years after their original contract expired. Mill workers have rejected several previous company contract offers. Capstone imposed a contract on mill workers without ratification more than a year ago, shortly before the union went on a 12-day strike. The union filed charges, arguing the implementation of the offer was illegal and that an impasse had not been reached. The National Labor Relations Board sided with the company and dismissed the union's charges. Healthcare has been a key sticking point in the talks, with the union fighting to maintain workers' former Kaiser Permanente coverage. The implemented offer retains Kaiser Permanente healthcare, but not at the same level of coverage. We'll be back after these messages.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Dairmaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator.
And we're back, and now turning to personnel changes in the industry. Louisiana Pacific named new heads of its oriented strand board, citing an engineered wood products businesses late last week. The company said all the appointments were effective in the coming new year. Jason Ringblum, vice president for sales and marketing within the company's oriented strand board business, will take over the business as an executive vice president and general manager. Ringblum replaces the now chief operating officer, Brad Southern, who took the new position earlier this year. Neil Sherman takes over as the executive vice president and general manager of the company's siding business. Sherman currently works as a senior vice president with the company's engineered wood products division. Mike Sims, a sales and marketing senior vice president, will take over from Sherman as the lead on the EWP division in combination with his current duties. Essa Kaikkonen has been appointed Metsä Group's Executive Vice President Strategy as of March 1, 2017. Kaikkonen continues also in his current role as Executive Vice President Metsä Wood. Metsä Wood Group's Executive Vice President Strategy since 2006, Hannu Antila, will retire on May 1, 2017. Finally, today, we wrap up our show with U.S. pulp and paper facts provided by our good friends at Two Sides. Today's fact, forest area in the U.S. increased by 5,800 NFL football fields per day between 2007 and 2012. You can learn more at twosides.us. That's twosides.us. With that in mind, have a great week, everyone. Be safe, and thanks for listening to Pulp and Paper Radio International. And don't forget to stay around after the closing as I read a classic Nip Impressions column.
Thank you for listening to our show today. We appreciate your support. Now make sure you're always reading the highest ranked e-newsletters in the worldwide pulp and paper industry. They are globalpapermoney.com and nipimpressions.com. This program has been produced by Pulp and Paper Radio International, now in its fifth year of delivering worldwide pulp and paper news when and where listeners desire it. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved.
If you like our music, you can download it as a ringtone from the Paparitalo store at paparitalostore.com. And remember, whatever you do, please do it safely. We'll be talking to you soon.
Now, if you want your own copy of Raising Ibadah, The Lessons of Nip Impressions, just email me at jthompson@taii.com. The book is $45 plus shipping and handling. It is close to 700 pages in length in an 8.5 by 11 inch format. And now for today's classic column. Several of the stories in today's news talked about biorefineries. I thought I'd go back and see what I had to say about biorefineries over 7 years ago in a column that was published on the 21st of September, 2009. The title of the column, I just had a blank, refinery. All right, here we go. Recently, I had the opportunity to listen to a couple of fresh presentations on the, quotes, biorefinery, end quotes, concept. The more I listen to such concepts, the less persuaded I become that there is anything real here. Let's take this apart and see if I can express what concerns me. First, there is the name, biorefinery. This is not so far from just plain old refinery and a distant cousin to a coal gasification plant. All three take carbon, either recently grown or long buried, and convert it into usable forms of for modern humankind's energy needs. Refinery and coal gasification, also known as clean coal, are already bad words. We all know, right and object if you must, that the environmental advocate community is long on names and short on science. It would not take much to turn biorefinery name into a bad word, an event that will doom such projects henceforth. Second, there is the idea that if we must have ethanol, cellulosic ethanol is vastly superior to agricultural ethanol, such as those derived from corn. There is a constant wringing of the hands over the idea of food versus energy. Well, according to the Ohio Farmer, September 2009, page 10, a U.S. farmer today feeds 144 people and only fed 25.8 in 1960. If that doesn't convince you there is room for more growth in the corn ethanol business, you can find other sources that will tell you about this. So if you live in the United States and see how much the federal government is paying farmers to not grow crops, there's plenty of room for more in this system for more corn. But probably the most disingenuous aspect of every biorefinery presentation I have ever witnessed are what is not said. Those things are these. There is an unspoken aura of these presentations that the biorefinery is going to save existing integrated pulp and paper mills. I ask you, why on earth would anyone want to hang this technology if it works and if there is a viable market for its products in an old rusting hulk with environmental liabilities, inefficient layouts, poor work habits, and on and on? It makes far more sense if the concept is viable to start fresh on a greenfield site. I cannot imagine enough energy savings and infrastructure on any existing site to make up for the continuing liabilities it will carry forward. And let me say something about CO2 while we're on the subject. First, it is a market change in the last year that presentations like the ones I speak of here have generally gone from an opening justification comment related to global warming to one called climate change. It looks like the general public is being prepared for the death of the global warming concept while the preservation of the Chicken Little syndrome soldiers on. There's a marked change from the past solution of humankind's problems to think that we must change systems, in this case, energy systems, midstream and without much thought. On the supply side, the world is not running short of fossil age carbon-based fuels. Two-thirds of the world has not even been explored. That's the deep oceans. We really don't know how much there is, and frankly, I don't understand the paranoia of pulling it up from the ground wherever we find it. The other push on fossil fuels is the pollution, the CO2. Yet CO2 is pretty good stuff. We need the sea and we need the O2. We even need the CO2. Perhaps we ought to look at pulling the surplus from the air. Back in December 2008, in a point counterpoint column over at Paper Money titled The Precautionary Principle, if you want to look it up, I calculated the coal and gas-fired electrical generation stations worldwide turned over the entire atmosphere through their combustion chambers roughly every 12 days. Why don't we grab all that CO2 while we pull the atmosphere through the boilers? How? Stick a large greenhouse in front of each boiler, sized so the wind draft through it is something less than hurricane strength, and directly photosynthesize all that extra CO2 then and there. Who knows, maybe we can grow corn or soybeans or something else in 30 days or less with this CO2-rich atmosphere. I recognize we are exploring for the correct answers at the moment. I just wish we could get responsible scientists to give us full disclosure presentations and allow the audience to draw their own conclusions. The scientists' credibility is being damaged by the feeling of a hidden agenda the current crop of presentations engenders. And I hope you have no problem with hidden agendas when it comes to safety. 100% safe all the time, nothing else, is acceptable. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
The pulp and paper industry. What, through a heritage of thousands of years, wipes away sickness, wipes away tears? Tissue and greeting cards bring us these functions, while packaging economically delivers two junctions, our foodstuffs, our cravings, our needs, and our unctions. You ask for the source of these magical deeds. They come from the twigs, they come from the seeds, nurtured and grown by caring hands throughout the mountains and the flatlands. Majestically soaring and shading, they do their sheltering, their oxygenating. Yes, it is simple. Trees start this. We can truly say, pulp and paper bring bliss. Jim Thompson, copyright 2010.